my God, what if we've been recording inside my mind the entire time?
No. That's just terrifying.
It kind of is, yeah. Do you think he's coming back?
Buckle up for the sex, Apropos Posse. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna. Oh my God, you're an asshole, Salsa.
Thank you. I am drinking. This asshole is drinking a Cider Boys Strawberry Magic Cider.
Okay.
Is yummy.
Is yummy. Is very yummy.
It's like strawberry magic on my tongue.
Strawberry magic on my tongue is my Fish cover band.
Ah. I forgot to grab the bag for the tea that I'm having, but it is an English breakfast.
Slightly.
I don't know what brand, but English breakfast is tasty, yo. So go get you some.
Is true.
Agreed.
Is true.
I'm drinking an Oddside Mayan Mocha Stout. Stout with coffee, cinnamon, nutmeg, and habanero.
And habanero. Damn. How is that? What's it taste like? Does it taste like a stout?
No, it tastes like a dirty chai with like a hard spice to it.
Yes, but how much arrow does it hob?
All.
Oh my God.
Or like an arrow.
Okay.
It hobs an arrow.
Okay.
I used to be an adventurer, but then I hobbed an arrow.
An arrow to the knee.
All right. Quick poll.
Okay.
Quick poll. How many of our listeners just smashed their face against the wall?
Good question.
Or swore really loudly. Maybe have even said, damn it, James, even though James didn't say it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you drinking, Jenna?
I already said.
Oh, that.
English breakfast.
Sorry. I'm having a stroke, apparently.
Normally, I give an extra long, oh my God, story behind whatever it is.
It did go really fast.
Like, yeah, it went super fast. Like, normally, I am the internet blog recipe of discussion. So it was a crisp spring morning. Warm weather hadn't quite come in.
I kind of want to do one of those and just never remember to get to the recipe.
Oh, wow.
Oh, see, you are an app.
Yes! Everybody keeps being surprised about this.
Not surprised in a good way.
No, I think there's a part of me as an individual that keeps repressing that you're an asshole, that I continue to have conversations with.
No, that's entirely fair.
Seems right. I mean, not right in the good way, but right in the correct way.
Right. So, hey, James, what have you been up to?
Some things. I assembled the Kotatsu.
We had a
little date night tonight. We watched Soul. We picked up tacos from a local taco truck that is a favorite because we know that they wear masks and that people wait in their cars, and that's great. And it's the taco truck that's parked in the Kmart parking lot. Their food is fucking phenomenal. And they are super friendly. So, yeah, we like them a lot. So we had a little bit of a date night, and we watched Soul, and we put together the Kotatsu, because during the spring and summer and early autumn, and in this case, the spring, summer, autumn, and first half of the fucking winter, there's really no reason to have a heated table. So, yeah. Oh, Kotatsu is a...
I know what a Kotatsu is.
Right.
Although we should probably tell our listeners. However,
true.
My face was at the idea of never needing a heated table at any point during the year. Because that's what I want all the time.
Oh, fair.
That was
my... listeners, you know what to get her. So the... Kotatsu is a table that I encountered when I was visiting Japan. They're usually little square doodads, relatively low to the floor, like a coffee table, that has a blanket, like a kilt, around it.
A skirt.
It's not pleated, so you're correct. Knighted. Hashtag hash browns knighted. Then it's got a hard tabletop above that. So you can still, you know, safely rest your drinks and stuff. But then the underside of the table has a heater that is specially built to heat that warm little s'more of space between the blanketed tabletop and the carpet. Mm-hmm. And by putting your legs in there, you make your whole body warm. And it's fucking glorious, but to import one of those from Japan is anywhere from $800 to $2,000. And then also, you know, depending on the quality of the tabletop and, you know, blankety skirt bit, also more, because those are usually like $800 to $1,000 if you get a super nice one. So, yeah, I just opted to build one out of IKEA pieces, and it was $250. And I do strongly recommend using a real Kotatsu heater, because that is not the expensive part.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you can get a real Kotatsu heater to mount on the underside of your American Swedish plywood table. And
eat your tacos.
where you can eat your tacos and watch your Hollywood movie. Yeah. So there's that.
So is it an electric heating element, or is it
It is. It's
a radiant heat, that, or how does it? Is it a fan, or what is it? How does it work?
Nope. There's no fan. It is just a reflector, and then a little heating coil below it that is specifically designed to shut off when it reaches specific temperatures that can be very subtly adjusted with a knob.
Okay.
That draws a low amount of current. It's a very small heater. It is less powerful than the little fan ones that you get and plug into a 120 AC thing. Like they're,
how hot does it get? Like, will it burn you if you accidentally touch it, or how?
No, nope. But it gets like, it's toasty warm. It's like putting your legs in a hot bath.
Does it attach to the bottom of the table, or is it sitting on the floor?
It attaches to the underside of the tabletop.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a brief how-to DIY. It's kind of a draw the rest of the fucking owl DIY, but it does, like, it shows what it looks like.
I'm trying to paint a picture here for our listeners here.
Yeah. So, if you imagine one of those little freestanding foot heaters that people put under their desks, but you take the heating coils out of that, and you put it onto a, and I am by no means recommending literally doing this, but if you were to attach that safely to a baking sheet and then put a little safety cage over the exposed side, mm-hmm. And you were to make it temperature sensitive and safe again somehow, sure. Then that would do the thing. It heats it up very quickly, and it becomes real cozy and sleepy under there. So I bought the real Japanese Kotatsu heater, mounted it to the underside of a Swedish table, and then plug it into an outlet converter that steps down the voltage of the American outlet to Japanese voltage. Because as much as like laptop power adapters and things don't care, in this case, it's a really good idea. You definitely want to. So, the Japanese outlet design is functionally indistinguishable from the American two prongs, but do it anyway. For the safety of your household, fucking do it anyway.
Yeah. That's just...
Yeah. Smart. But they are designed not to, knocking on wood, a different piece of Swedish furniture. They are designed not to catch fire, which is of great comfort. So,
I mean, that's usually a feature, not a bug.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I feel like all of this, like, I could use a different heater.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not specifically designed to be used for this particular function,
right?
I would have concerns mm-hmm. about how hot things were going to get and mm-hmm. whatnot. But I have wanted a Kotatsu ever since I learned that they existed, mm-hmm. Which was, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I continue to want one. I have plans for when I have a house to... Like, have a kitchen booth thing that can double with a Kotatsu.
Oh.
So then it's all like, yeah, like blankets and everything is all boothy and cozy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like just like a little cozy booth thing that I can just, all of that. Yeah, yeah.
If Renfest moves ground and we have to rebuild the fencing booth from scratch, I'm going to find a way to put a fucking Kotatsu in that thing.
Oh my God, yes, please. Yes, yes. X3. Mm-hmm. All of the yes. So much yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. So that, when it's a cold October morning or a cold October evening, people can just go stick their legs under it.
Yep. That would be everything that I would want in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the other answer to Conan, what is best in life.
Yeah. Stick your legs under a Kotatsu and have them warm.
Yeah. Strong drinks.
Yeah.
Booth friends. Kotatsu table.
Yeah. I also got a heating element thing. I know normally we go like person, but I want to talk about this because it segues nice.
Yes, please.
I got an electric fireplace TV stand.
Yeah.
Because I like, and I know they're kind of hokey, and I don't care because, yeah. And if it was just the fire looking element without a heat element to it, I'd be like, no, I'm not getting that.
Yeah.
But it's both. Fire looking thing and a heating element.
Does it have the fake crackle noise too?
It doesn't have a fake crackle noise.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But it does some of them are cheaper than others. And the one I got is actually pretty fucking convincing overall. At the first glance, you wouldn't even think about it. But if you look harder, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like And I think the reason why it works so good is it's got some ceramic logs to the forefront.
Yeah.
And then it's got a couple of different projection layers inside sure. of it. So you really kind of get that 3D depth thing going. Mm-hmm. So I purchased this TV stand slash fireplace. Mm-hmm. And I went to put it together. And this thing is just fucked up. It is super fucked up. Mm. All of the holes, the pre-drilled holes, were misaligned. Well, not all of them, but because the most structural-based ones were misaligned, that misaligned everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And made it impossible for me to put in, like, the back inserts. Oof. And then, like, the actual material, I think, was press board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's like it looked like really strong cardboard.
Yeah.
When I went to ended up taking out the bracket just by drilling it. Yep. Oh, and I bent the bracket. So, you know, the hardware was quality, too.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like that.
Yeah. The whole thing was a fuck. The doors are a little too short for the cabinets on either side. On the plus side, that means that I currently have cables running over the top from my computer that I've tucked into one of those cabinets.
Hmm.
So, I mean, bonus. I was going to run it around from the back, but
sure.
It's right there. Whatever.
Now you can make it look kind of intentional.
No.
This what sounds like your worst nightmare as a project manager.
Oh, God. You have no idea. I'm guessing
this isn't IKEA.
No, it's Gemfly, which I...
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a popular furniture model, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I found out. But it was exactly like the book and the heating element and all of the bits and pieces were exactly what I was looking for, like design-wise and everything else. I just didn't know that it was going to be built off of like hopes and prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oof.
So yeah, but I did manage to put all of this together. And get my TV on it. I'm never moving it. Like, when I leave this apartment, this isn't coming with me because it's not going to be able to withstand it. I'm not making that up. That is an accurate statement.
It's just bubblegummed to the wall at this point.
It's, I mean, like, I wouldn't lean on it too heavily. All right.
Ooh.
Because the back inserts couldn't fit in there, they're like... kind of structural, like they're reinforcement.
Oh, yeah. Oh goodness.
Yeah. Into the structure of it to just help keep everything from like pushing over. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have small children or pets. I'm wondering if it's going to be able to withstand Rosie. I think it'll be fine. Just because the lip on it is so high, I don't think Rosie's actually going to be able to bump the structure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just the base.
I'm just picturing that moment in the cartoons where like a single feather comes slowly drifting down and then like gently alights on it and then the whole thing collapses.
I would not put
right.
this. I know I am risking my new TV on top of this thing, but like, buddy. No, I think it's sturdy enough for the things that I need to do, but there is no picking this up, lifting it, and moving it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is not happening. That it's just going to fall apart.
Sure.
But yeah. So, but I did get all of that put together, and I think I'm going to readjust the doors and just call it done. I sent a message to the company that I got this from and was like, hey guys, your product is shit, and let's have a conversation about this. And the entire conversation that I had with them was, hey guys, your product is shit. Like, I listed out all of the different things that had happened with what I received. And they sent a response of, we're so sorry to hear that. We are going to refund you all of your money. There's no need for you to send it back.
You're like, I don't think it would survive.
Well, that's
Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that they have had enough people tell them that their product is so much shit that there is no way to send it back.
Right.
Or that they have had people attempt to send theirs back and their product was so much shit that they basically just got a pile of mulch upon return. So, yeah. Basically, so now I have a free TV and electric fire stand that only cost me 4 hours of my life and a lot of sadness and frustration. But
and if you ever start a garden, you do have the mulch now.
Right.
I was gonna say free seems like about the right price based on the description. Yeah.
I was actually I'm glad I didn't do that thing where I suggest a solution right off the bat and let them come to me with a solution.
Sure.
Because the fireplace heating element actually is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I, like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I think this is worth X amount of dollars. And so I'm going to ask for a refund of basically the rest of it, the TV stand that goes with it, right? So I'm willing to pay this amount for the fireplace heater. And I want them to just give me back the rest of the money. Yeah. So in my brain, I was willing to take a partial refund. And they just came back at me with, we're going to give you all of your money back. And I went, oh, well, okay then. It has been nice negotiating with you.
Well, if you're going to be reasonable about it.
Right.
Since we're sweet segging into various other stories, I have a customer service story as well. I bought something for wood turning back at the end of December. December 29th, I believe it was. And I got the little email saying your package is being sent. Here's the tracking number. And I had tracking information. It said, you know, expected delivery on the 4th. And the 4th came and went, and went, and went, and went. And it just, no more information. It just kind of, nothing else happened from that point. Finally, after 10 days, it was like the 14th, I was like, all right, I'm not waiting any longer for them to find this on a floor or somewhere. So I contacted UPS as the company that had the tracking number. And I contact UPS and I'm like, hey, I think you guys lost a package. Could you go look, you know, under your, you know, under your conveyor belts for
Transport.
It?
Sure.
And they said, no, that is the day that we handed it off to the United States Postal Service. I was like, oh, so I went to the U.S. Postal Service's website and their tracking information. And their tracking information goes back to the 4th saying, expecting a package. So UPS is saying, we sent it to USPS, and USPS is saying, we're waiting for UPS to send it to us. And somewhere between those two companies, it disappeared. So I contact and UPS said contact the original seller, you know, because as the sender, maybe they have an insurance, maybe, you know, they'll be able to have more pull in getting things solved than I as the receiver will. So right. I contacted the company. I gave them the information. I said, here's the tracking information. This is what UPS told me. This is what USPS told me, you know. And they got back to me just like yesterday saying, we're sending you a new one. So I was like, okay. I responded with like, I appreciate that very much. I know that it wasn't your mistake, and I really, really hope that, you know, the Postal Service can find your merchandise and return it to you so that you don't have a loss, but I appreciate it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway. I'm not getting it for free, but I am eventually going to get it.
That's fair.
So, you are eventually going to get the object that you paid for.
Yes, exactly. So,
well, the other thing is that this item that I purchased was not an insubstantial amount of money.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Like, we're talking a TV stand and a fireplace heating element. Like, this was something that I've wanted for years that I was like, okay, I'm finally going to splurge on this. I have a little bit of extra credit stuff going on. I'm going to all of this. Like, we talked about my beautiful credit limit last week. So it was like, I'm going to splurge. I'm going to get this thing. And it's like, and it was hefty, but it was also such a disappointment. Like, it was just like, I've been waiting for this for so long. It is horrible.
And now my heart is broken and my day is ruined.
Yeah. When they said they were giving me all of my money back, I was like, oh, that's a lot of money.
I accept your apology.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What else have you been up to, James?
Getting back into writing a daily journal. Starting today. And like, my first journal entry was kind of like, boy, oh boy, journal, you're sure glad I fell out of this habit for 2020. In late 2019, I stopped journaling, and whoo boy.
Whoo Nelly.
Let me tell you. But I just kind of, I realized that I'm on a major self-improvement kick.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm in a diet program. I'm in a program to improve the health of my knees. I am in a program to help with my finances. And, then I'm also in couples therapy. I'm in individual therapy as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then a couple of professional courses to improve my technical aptitude.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it is a time of introspection and self-improvement.
Excellent.
I hope.
I mean, can't get any worse.
Thank you, Salsa.
You're welcome.
You're a voice.
Okay. my family and I went to the Minnesota Zoo, Nature Illuminated.
Sure.
Oh.
It was the final night, so no, you can't go anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But it's a drive-through exhibit, that they put on, so...
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to put on a mask, don't need to leave your car, don't need to even put on a coat. You just stay in your snug car and you drive through, and they have, like, when you buy your ticket, they send you a link to a SoundCloud playlist, and as you each as you enter each zone, you just hit play on the next track. But it's basically these giant inflatable animals.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like fucking huge inflatable animals that you drive past, and you listen to the audio when they kind of talk about the different animals and you know, the different areas and some interesting facts about them and things like that, and it was interesting. You know, my kids very much enjoyed it. They loved seeing the huge, you know, shark and the huge bumblebee, and you know, the moose as big as a house, and they had a gigantic snake.
Oh.
And they had a humongous red panda.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Dang.
And all sorts of... And, like... I love
Wait, pause.
Yes.
Panda or Red Panda?
Red Panda.
Red Panda.
I only heard panda.
Oh, I was expecting a reaction from you, and I got nothing.
Yeah,
I was like, okay.
And I was like, why would he want me to be excited about a panda?
No, I said red panda.
Okay, well, now I'm excited and jealous and yeah. Angry.
Huge red panda. With a little
only heard panda, and like, then just
no,
that,
no, the moment's passed. The moment's passed. But then, like, my daughter, we drive past this big bear with a salmon in its mouth. You know, huge inflatable bear with an inflatable salmon in its mouth. And we drive past, and my daughter goes, "That's a boy salmon." And we're like, "Oh, how do you know?" And she's like, only the boy salmon have, like, this skull shape. You know, the females have a different shape to their skull.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
just like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
because my children watch Wildkratts and other PBS educational shows all day, and so they pick up on information like this. And, like, you know, we're doing the audio tour, and we're hearing all these interesting facts, and we got done. We're like, so, kids, did you learn anything? And Lilibeth was like, I knew most of that stuff.
Oh, right. My God. Ah, what a little shit.
I know. But they do. They know that stuff because they've been watching it, you know. But it was I'm super happy that my kids loved it. And got something out of it. I didn't know what to expect going in. And
sure.
If it was just me, I would be kind of disappointed. Because from my perspective, it was a bunch of inflatable animals that we
sure.
drove by. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. But I wasn't expecting a bunch of animal-shaped bouncy castles and a podcast.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Zoo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was animal bouncy castles and a podcast, which isn't what I was expecting. But I don't know if I would have spent as much as we did on it. But again, the kids got something out of it, and that's really the important part.
And it's helping the zoo.
And I was just about to say that. And the rest, and the money goes to the zoo, which is something that I do very much support.
Yeah.
So, I didn't begrudge them too much. So, but anyway,
it's not going into some strange shyster's pocket. It's going into the pocket of a shyster that you know and respect.
I mean, it doesn't matter if I recommend it or not because that was the last night to do it. So whatever. Moving on. Jenna?
Well, I mean, I heard they had a giant panda there, so...
The giant red panda.
Even better.
Jenna, do you have anything else before we go to break?
Didn't have that. Probably, but whatever. Fuck it.
So, no.
Yeah, I said whatever, fuck it.
I plan on it.
Whatever, fuck it, didn't you understand?
Yeah.
God.
That's Jenna for make the buttons happen.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going to talk about a topic that we got through the internet on a random topic generating website, because that's how we roll.
Yeah.
Instead of having to think things up on our own, because that's...
Some people are brain dead at the beginning, at the end of the week. We are brain dead at the beginning of the week.
We are just brain
so
dead.
So much so that I even, like, fucked up what it was that I wanted to say just now.
I'm just lazy is what it comes down to. If I don't have to do the thinking, then I won't. Anyway, random topic mm-hmm. generator comes up with... where was it? There it is. If you had to pick a Disney character to represent you, which one would mm-hmm. you pick?
Legally, like in a court of law, or
no? If yes, James, that is your question. The rest of us are going to answer the actual question.
I think I would want it to be like Mufasa. Like he's a really good speaker.
Oh, he does seem like a really good speaker. No, Ursula.
She's real good with the contracts. Ooh, that's a good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be Ursula.
I think villains might actually have the edge if we were talking about legal representation. Just because, like, all of them are very. Very charismatic, very convincing, very, you know, very powerful speakers. You know, like Jafar.
Well, in that case, I would do like Flynn Rider.
Oh, that's all right.
Because he's not a bad guy, but he's got the gift of the gab, you know, he's got the golden tongue there.
And Smolder.
Or oh god, why can't I think of his name right now? The Frog Prince.
Oh sure.
I don't know. He was kind of an asshole at the beginning, though, wasn't he?
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he was charismatic as fuck.
This explains.
He was
much
charismatic.
About your choices in partners,
no, but
I
was
think.
He was charismatic, but mostly because he had money, not because he was particularly. Like
no, it's because he's a musician, and that's, you know.
Yeah, I do have a type there.
No, it's true. It was a musician and a prince, you know, rich thing going on. I don't know if that was really a charismatic, golden tongue thing happening. Whereas, like...
Oh, bad. Okay, nope, you've convinced me.
Okay.
You've convinced me.
I'm trying to think of, like... What are some of the... I guess, like, El Dorado, that wasn't... A Disney,
ooh.
Was it?
That wasn't.
Wow. That wasn't.
That was
okay.
DreamWorks.
That was DreamWorks.
Dang.
Yeah. Like, those two absolutely would have been solid.
Those would two would represent you two.
Yeah. Yes.
In a court of law and in, you know, a representation.
Generally. I agree. I'm a little offended at how accurate that is.
All right. I'm gonna go with back to the spirit of the question. I'm gonna go with Clopin.
Okay.
Clopin was the king of the jester guy in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
He was like the jester and the Romani and the, like, you know, crazy fun guy and, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Storyteller.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Esmeralda is one of my identifying princesses, mm-hmm. even though she's not a princess.
Nice.
But, I think the one that I identify the most with is Meg from Hercules.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. you know, from the hair to the attitude to the spurned in love to the just, you know.
Stuck doing things she don't want to do.
Yeah. All of that. Like, I think Meg is
that's,
probably the one.
That's solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Story checks out.
I mean, but like Esmeralda, like I really like identify with just the big heartedness that she has.
Sure.
And the sense of fighting for things that are just, or even just fighting for being able to survive. Right.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of those aspects that I identify with. And then Mulan is the other one that I identify with the most. I think Mulan, there is definitely a woman in a man's world thing that I identify with on that. Mm-hmm. Like, and the learning how to do out of necessity kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the ones that I would identify.
Joking aside, that makes complete sense.
And a lot of people think, are like, oh, well, I identify you with Merida, and that's cool and all, but not quite me.
Fair.
Like, I think so many people expect that I would connect with her, and I just don't. And I think some of it is just the spoiled brattiness of the beginning of all of that, like just and the I don't know, the undisciplined nature of her. Because I am a pretty disciplined person, right? And I think that's where I have a hard time connecting with her on an identity basis.
There is also the, I mean, I get what they're probably thinking is a compliment, because it's very much in the same Mulan, like, woman wanting to be under her own recognizance and to do whatever she likes to do, whether it's ladylike or not.
Yeah.
But
Everything I do is a lady. Is ladylike.
That's true. That is settled law of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what they are probably thinking, but I would also disagree. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Also, just because you know yourself best.
Well, I mean, there is that. But, and I'm not, like, overly offended that people identify me with Merida.
No, yeah.
But, yeah, it's not quite right.
Yeah.
I wish I could shoot a bow and arrow like she can. Fuck, man. That'd be awesome.
I was watching that just the other day, and because I loved it, and I was actually trying to figure out why it wasn't more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it, and I realized there's no songs. They have beautiful, like, Scottish music throughout, but there's no singing. None.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Let It Go. There's, you know, Into the Unknown. There's nothing that like that. It's just a good movie, but there's no singing. So
yeah.
I think actually for Brave, I would identify more with the mother.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
And that Jessa seems right. Would be more of a Merida character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I honestly think that is pretty good identification for us.
I feel like you're a lot more supportive of anything that she wants to do without having to be turned into a bear.
Well, but there are also times where I'm like, you know, this is what is expected,
mm-hmm.
right? And you should at least know what is expected.
Sure.
And have the ability to do what is expected, whether you choose to do it or not, is a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. But, like having an understanding. When she was really little, when she was about like 5 or so, and still dudeing it up, she wanted a pink backpack. I was like, okay, I want you to understand that this is the way that other people in your class might take that. Because I think it's important to have that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things you might, that you can expect might happen if you make this choice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think where I can connect with that mom is that there is an understanding of how others will take some, have that reaction.
Sure.
How actions will be perceived and how, mm-hmm. how things kind of work. But there's also like that mom she's the coordinator. She's totally the coordinator in that family. She's the one that makes everything go.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else in that family is taking on those kinds of like emotional labor, mental load, bullshit stuff. Like, nah, she's doing it. She's making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And honestly, like, Jessa isn't nearly as bratty as the Merida character either.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. It's probably the both of us, but like at the end of the movie. So. James.
I feel a lot of kinship with Tulio and Miguel. Because I mean, but they're, I understand that they're kind of shysters, but they're con men. But I think the easy answer for me is Jiminy Cricket, because that was what my sister nicknamed me. I was her conscience when we were growing up.
That makes a lot of sense.
Whenever she would go to do something that was not the correct thing, I would be there to remind her that it was not good, which is the job of all little brothers probably, but you know, just 'cause I care.
Right.
But so that's kind of the easy answer. I think my if I were to be deeply introspective about it, probably Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, good call.
Because, you know, he's all full of bravado and self-assurance and wants to do what is right and has his duty to help others and complete his mission for Star Command and all of that stuff. And he gets disillusioned pretty hard.
Right.
And then has to build his identity not as the Buzz Lightyear, not as the hero of this fantastic world, but instead as just being the best at being himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, not something more than that. Not trying to be something more than what he is, but not trying to be something unobtainable.
Well, and I would say it's that level of self-honesty.
Yeah.
That's in there. The because I think this is a thing that happens to a lot of us, honestly, which is why so many of us can identify with that, oh shit, I'm not the hero. We get like we get told that we're special or we have expectations built up around us, especially if we're gifted kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, right. And there's just kind of this whole, you know, well, you're going to do great things, kid. You could be president. You could whatever. And so we have this concept built up in our brains of, well, you know, I am all of this greatness. And it's not to
say I'm the chosen one.
Yeah, not even necessarily the chosen one, but like along that vein.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get out into the world, it's a lot tougher to become president than one might think. Although,
but also apparently not tough enough.
It should be. Yeah. But yeah, like we all have that. And I think one of the hardest parts of being an adult is just the acceptance of the honesty of who you are.
Yeah.
What your skills are, what your limitations are. And I think like one of the things that happens, and we get to watch Buzz go through this, is that like he thinks he's just this great hero with all of the story that he's been given. And then he finds out that he's not, and he goes through this depression, and he thinks he's awful, and he thinks he's horrible. And then he works his way to, oh, I'm not a bad person just because I'm not this story guy. Like I have, you know, like honestly good qualities about myself.
Yeah.
And I think the secret to adult to me is when we go from that kind of, idealized version of ourselves. Right.
Yeah.
Go from that version of ourselves to an acceptance of what our skills and abilities and what the world around us actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've met some people that are 70 years old that are not yet adults. So anyway.
Well, I see it as being, I agree. And I see a point in my life, especially as a gifted child, like you said, where I had this image of who I am supposed to be. And compared to that guy, I suck. You know, that guy got good grades. That guy became an astronaut. That guy cured cancer. That guy is, you know, plays orchestral music and makes people weep, you know, like that kind of stuff. Compared to that guy, if I'm trying to be that guy, then who I am is a failure. But if I'm trying to be the best with what I've got, I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing all right. So I would say Buzz Lightyear really
cool.
is me.
I've been trying to think for my family, and I think my wife would probably be a Bagheera.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I could see that.
You know, just trying to do the right thing and trying to be the protector and trying to, you know, lead you down the right path and just giving a shit, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for the kids, I think it's got to be a toss-up between the younger brothers from Brave and the squirrels from Emperor's New Groove.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh, speaking of goals, speaking of characters that we want to compare ourselves to, let me tell you about Kronk. Like,
oh yeah,
he's a himbo, but he's just like he's everything I want to be.
You're definitely kind of a Kronk, James.
You're real close, buddy. Yeah. Have you seen
Kronk's
New Groove?
Yes.
I think I like it better than the Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
Like Kronk's New Groove is so fucking good. It's heartwarming and it's delightful and it's wacky and it's just a little sad until it's not. And there's a cheese explosion. Like, it's so good.
No, I think James is a pretty solid Kronk. Yeah.
No, I like your Buzz Lightyear response, but I would push... You are definitely very Kronk.
Yeah.
You're very Kronkish.
I appreciate that. That's hashtag squad goals.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Well, do we have any thoughts beyond this, or
I was trying to think of what Joe would be. And he might be
Joe would be the black magic guy from Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, how did Joe just get sexier? Oh, buddy. Maybe.
I see him as being the prince from Princess and the Frog, like late stage Princess and the Frog, where he's like caring, but still like debonair slightly.
I'm still going black magic dudes.
Okay, but I would say he also kind of reminds me of like Lumiere.
Oh, there is a little bit of that in him.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
You know, he's the eminent host, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He wants you to be his guest. He's got that musical panache.
I just don't think there's enough edge on Lumiere, though. Like, Joe has that wicked, like, streak in him. That
inherent Jonah.
Really black humor. You know, which is why I'm saying black magic dude from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, can he be both black magic dude and the prince?
Yes.
We just smush them together because sure. I think
we can do that.
Number one, I might need a moment after that, but number two, I think that is actually pretty darn accurate for Joe.
Well,
all right. Dear listeners, weigh in. Tell us what you think. Who are you? Who are we? Did we get it terribly wrong? Is James totally not a Kronk, though he is? Am I not a Klopan? Tell us.
You are.
Tell us who you are. Tell us who we are if we got it wrong. And, you know, go ahead and post those comments on the Facebooks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Are you sure? How about now? Are you ready yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How about now? Hey, James.
Yeah?
Hey, James.
Hey, Jenna. Yeah.
Hey, James. Are we there yet?
How about now?
How about now?
Nice.
And we're back.
Oh, good.
I am kindergarten teacher Salsa.
I am arts and crafts instructor James.
And I'm Jenna.
Jesus
I didn't come
Christ,
up with persona.
What
I
the
just felt like my I'm Jenna would be good enough with the great Are We There Yet?
For fuck's sake, and we have a Fast Five.
Do we really?
Fast Five. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Troy says, greetings, apropostors. I couldn't think up five whole questions in context on my own, so I enlisted the help of some other listeners. Together, we came up with five questions and five contexts. Enjoy.
Oh my God. What? How many other listeners?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. All I know is what I know.
Are they listeners that we know of, or are they secret listeners?
I don't know.
Salsa, Salsa, tell me. I want to know. Salsa, are we there yet?
Jenna, I will withhold the dinger if I have to.
Oh.
Okay, I'll be good.
Oh, we'll be good.
Question number one. Coffee or tea?
Yes. The answer is yes. I'm gonna say coffee is my primary and tea is my secondary. Like, okay. I basically drink coffee all morning and tea all afternoon and wine in the evening. Yeah. So, but if I had to give up one of them, probably tea. I mean, like right now, I'm not drinking in the evening. I'm just drinking more tea. Because I don't want to be up for forever. But, yeah, like, I would give up tea. And, yeah, coffee you can pry out of my cold bed now.
Yeah, no, I'm very similar in that and anything before noon is coffee and anything after noon is tea.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if I had to give one up, I think I would give up tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would give up tea because most places have free coffee.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and if you're bored at the auto shop, right?
Oh man, I've been to that auto shop. I've been bored at that auto shop.
Mm-hmm.
Previous guest Bree actually came and cheered me up at that auto shop once.
Aww.
I know, right?
That's so sweet.
I know.
All right. Question number two. Dual or triple?
I assume that dual is in two, not dual is in fighting.
Yes, dual with an A, not with an E.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I will use it in a sentence. The question is dual or triple?
Oh, okay. That clarifies everything. Thank you. I'm going to go with... Oh, God. What comes in duals and triples? What do you do in duals and triples?
Music?
I'm going to say that duels are real heteronormative, and I'm not about it.
Oh.
I'm going to go triple. Just because I'm greedy.
I think I'm going to go... I'm going to go triple because I like having my triple monitor workstation set up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
James?
I'm going to go with triple.
Okay. Question number three.
Bing.
Among Us or Space Team?
Space Team!
Yeah, Space Team.
Is Among Us the one where you are on the spaceship and you try to be the saboteur?
Yep.
One person is the saboteur. It's basically...
Yeah, you try to figure out who it is.
It's like a werewolf card game, but there's more.
I've played it once and didn't get it.
I played it a couple of times and I watched it being played with Jessa several other times. Mm-hmm. And like, I actually love playing the werewolf game. There's something, and I think maybe because I have the werewolf game so much stuck in my brain, like the Among Us game, like there's something just not about it. a little, it's, I don't know, off or just isn't jiving with the way I like to figure things out or whatever. It's a little more complicated.
I am really fucking terrible at being the saboteur. I want to tell you that the vast majority of the time that I was the saboteur and the rest of the team were just trying to complete tasks, I think maybe one person got murdered, maybe, and then they won by completing all the tasks and then were surprised that I was the saboteur. And that's that's just life. That's just how
so
that's
going to go.
What
you're saying is you're so nice that even as the saboteur, you can't do damage.
I don't
to a group.
I mean, I've definitely won rounds as the saboteur, but I'm just, it's not, that's not my skill set.
Yeah.
Space Team is just way more fun anyway.
I just love Space Team.
Yep. Space Team is cooperative.
Yeah.
It's just more fun because there's more yelling. Question number 4. Print or digital?
I'm sorry, what was that? You blipped a bit.
That's okay. Print or digital?
Oh.
I like print books.
I personally do too.
I have nothing against digital books, but I personally like the smell of a print book.
I love having my books, and I love reading my books. When I'm doing comfort stuff, it's all about books. News, however... like my newspaper, I get in a digital format.
Sure.
So like I like getting my news digital.
Yeah.
Even though you miss out on newspaper clippings, it's fine. Whatever. I'll get over it. But yeah, I think I'm going to go digital because that's how I like to ingest my news.
Sure. I just switched my my 2600 subscription to digital. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing is if it's about for example artwork, I think I've got a lot of artwork and I love having printed artwork. And like some of this is fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But I am out of room. I probably have room for a little more.
I see an entire space on that wall right there, James.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah, over here, definitely. That blank space is where I'm going to put all of my accolades, which is why it's blank. I like having the thing. I do. I really enjoy having the digital desktops and everything that I have cycling on my computers and my Google interfaces and all that stuff. But there is something really incredibly special about having the thing itself.
All right.
So... I'm going to go with print.
All right.
Fair.
Question number 5. Head like a hole.
Okay.
Or hungry eyes.
Ew. Which is the worst actual physical malady?
Head like a hole?
So they're both song titles. Head like a hole.
Yes.
Head Like a Hole is a Nine Inch Nails song, and Hungry Eyes was like an 80s, you know...
love ballad.
Love ballad.
Yeah.
I think I vaguely remember. Like, I'm so bad at titles to things.
Hungry Eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going Head Like a Hole, because it's a vastly better song.
I'm sorry, what was that? Salsa, I couldn't hear you.
I'm going Head Like a Hole, because it's a vastly better song.
James, can you sing Head in the Hole for me? Or Head for a Hole?
Head Like a Hole.
It's a lot of screaming. It's good. It's really good. But head like a hole. Yeah.
Black as your soul. I'd rather die than give you control. Bow down before the one you serve. You're going to get what you deserve.
Okay, now I know which one it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
The titles don't do anything for me. I can't.
Whereas the other one's
Hungry Eyes.
Something incredible.
Romantic bullshit, and you're falling in love now. Yeah.
Which one is the worst? Which one is the more toxic song?
Oh. Probably Hungry Eyes.
Because
that's like, my eyes like you, so we need to be in a relationship.
Yeah, but bow down.
That's fucked up. I mean, that's just a healthy BDSM relationship.
Mm-hmm. Seems fine.
Could be.
Don't kink shame. like you would ever.
Overheard in Joe's neighborhood was just simply the phrase, "Kink shaming is my kink."
Yep.
I was pleased.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have an answer, Jenna?
Oh God.
It's nice of you to say, but I'm not
gonna go Hungry Eyes. What?
It's nice of you to say, but no, I'm not God.
Piss off. No, I think I'm going with Hungry Eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Head Like a Hole. Because between the two Sandman characters, I think there's a character that just has like a giant fucking gaping hole in their head, and that seems less terrible than being the Corinthian that has the bitings for eyes.
Okay.
So,
Troy finishes this up by saying, "Any guesses on who contributed which questions? I'll reveal all in the next email."
Oh.
Oh, no.
I'm going to guess.
So I guess this means that we do know these people.
I'm going to throw this out there, and we'll see how embarrassed I am, but I'm guessing Among Us or Space Team is from Stefan.
Okay. I'm willing to go with that.
I would almost say Eric Thompson.
I want to say dual or triple is Mav.
Yeah, that's...
Oh.
The Head Like a Hole one, I'm trying to... Would that be a mud thing, or would that be a...
I almost
head
think
like
that's...
Head Like a Hole, that sounds like... That's almost a Mav question there.
I'm thinking that that's a Stefan question.
Oh, you think?
Because Stefan is into rock.
That's a good point.
And like death metal and Eluvite and all of that stuff. So like I think that's much more into his corner. And also he is from the 80s, so Hungry Eyes would definitely be a song. No.
Would Printer Digital be Pedantic Eric?
I was thinking maybe it would be mud.
That could be mud, yeah.
Or what about the Zestaras?
That's a really good question.
Because that might be a Drew.
That could be a Drew one, yeah.
Shit.
Oh, which means Nine Inch Nails versus Bryan Adams or whoever.
Yeah.
Might. That might be a Dennis.
That might be a Dennis.
Oh. Jeez.
All right, should we find out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we will find out. We open up the second email and it says, Greetings, Apropostors. Welcome to the context portion of our Fast Five. Let's jump right in and see who is right and who is dead. Question number one, coffee or tea? If you were given lavender-infused non-dairy creamer, which drink would you try it in first?
Oh, tea.
I would...
Tea, 100%.
Throw it out the window? I would, that
sounds amazing.
If I had to put it in one, I would put it in tea, I think.
Yeah, I don't usually do cream in my tea.
I have done cream in my tea, and it is...
I've done it.
Depending on the tea.
Like, it's pretty good with a good black tea. I'm not as big a fan with it with green tea, but... I think...
Just don't fuck up my
coffee.
I think
I would go tea. I think lavender infused, I think I would go tea.
All right.
Yeah. I think tea is the correct answer. Nice.
Don't fuck up my coffee.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
All right. Question number two, dual or triple? Jenna, nailed it. Which monitor configuration would help you be most productive at work? Triple.
Triple.
Okay. Triple.
Yep. Nice.
Among Us or Space Team, which spaceship do you think accomplishes its missions more often?
Oh,
I mean, Space
definitely
Team
Among
never
Us.
Does.
Wait, what, Salsa?
Space Team never does.
I mean, if you count each round as a mission, maybe.
Well, in that case, it would be Space Team.
Because you have more. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's always posthumously awarding you things.
Right.
Then, but also, a lot of people die in Among Us. But the whole crew always dies
in Space Team.
Yeah, but that's
to shreds, you say.
Is that the mission? Like, when... I'm not saying the goal. I'm saying the question was, which one accomplishes its mission? Keeping you alive isn't necessarily a part of the mission.
That's very true. To shreds, you say.
Which spaceship do you think accomplishes its missions more often? I gotta go with Among Us.
Yeah.
Because that spaceship falls apart in both of them, but in Among Us, people eventually sometimes live. Whereas in Space Team, eventually that ship falls apart.
Yeah, that ship falls into the sun. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still not sure that's the definition of missions, but I'll go with it.
That's
whatever.
I'm not sure either.
All right. Question number four, print or digital. Which format do you find easier to sketch your ideas on, i.e. a blank piece of paper or an app like Draw.io?
I use both. God damn it.
The only time I draw on my computer is when I'm playing Jackbox. If I'm going to draw a thing, I'm going to use paper.
I love both, but for getting an idea out of my head, I most often use a Pixel Graphics thing, or I use Adobe Animate, what used to be Flash.
Oh, sure.
Because, like, I understand that rendering engine super, super easily. I've spent so much time with it now that I can just make shit in it. So, I love that. I was struggling to make dungeon maps for a one-shot campaign, and then just gave up and went to Adobe Animate again and cranked it out.
See, I think one of the reasons why I got the Moto Stylus is so that I could easier sketch things out. But I think getting an idea out of my brain, like especially if I'm doing design work, if I'm trying to figure out like spacing or whatever, I think pen and paper is still how I do it best.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's the stylus is more of a convenience. I got to get this drawn out. The pen and paper is easy for me to fuck with.
All right. Yeah. Question number 5, head like a hole or hungry eyes? Which would make a better music video starring the Corinthian from Sandman?
Holy shit, James. I did not think
Hungry Eyes.
That your incredible leap of logic was going to land up anywhere with that one. And yet, yep. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with this character.
He's got three mouths.
That question was Dennis. I'm definitely.
What did you say, James? Who is the Corinthian?
The Corinthian is an antagonist who, like a villain in the series, and is like gathering the worst people on Earth together in an effort to do bad things.
And you're going with a love ballad for that?
And going, well, just because he's got bitey mouths for eyes. He's got teeth. Like, literally mouths instead of eyes.
Oh.
So, hungry eyes.
I see.
Yeah.
He
might also be the one that ended up having a... But that when I thought of hungry eyes, I thought of the Corinthian.
Makes sense. That's... All right. Now we wrap up by saying... the first 4 of these were brought to you by Stefan Senpai.
Oh.
And the last one was mine.
Ah!
Nice.
I guess I'm good at conning people, at least Stefan, into doing work for me.
Oh. Yes.
So, I was right. Question number 3 was from Stefan, so there. Haha. anyway, Troy wraps this up by saying, love and cashews, Troy to Troy. If you would like to send in a fast 5, send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us context. They do not need to all be written by you, obviously. You can con other people into doing the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's got a shout out?
I do.
Go for it.
Local yarn shops have been doing online Facebook groups and things like that in order to guide people through remote knit-alongs, which are helping people to have a thing to do. And I think... that's what inspired me to do the Animal Crossing Turnip Market group. And the shout out that I want to give, I know this is esoteric, but the shout out that I want to give is to the members of the Turnip group that I started, who for almost a full year now have made it super welcoming and fun. And like people have made friends in there, and it's just like it's super nice and people are really thoughtful and kind, so I'm all about it. Thank you to them for giving me my knit along for the year.
All right,
Jenna.
I think after last week and all of the deliveries that I got, I need to thank our wonderful people that are doing deliveries in the Postal Service, FedEx, UPS. My God, are they keeping me going? And they're keeping me inside. So, yeah. Shout out there. Oh, and Target.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, Target. I need more diet cheese pizzas. All right. Anyway.
Well, my shout out is also going to be my plug. They're one and the same. Giving my shout out to Mondo Juggle Fest. This year, their event is all online.
Oh, okay.
They're doing a all online juggling festival. It is February 12th through the 14th. All events are free. Donations are encouraged. But the Mondo Spectacular this year is on Friday night. Not Saturday, as it always is. This year it is on Friday night at 7 p.m. Will be the Spectacular. But yeah, then after that there'll be a bunch of workshops and, you know, various other, you know, events going on. Because they are not doing in-person things, they've built an online, you know, t-shirt store. And it's really cute because not only can you get t-shirts, you know, Mondo shirts, but you can also get mugs and leggings, and their leggings are really cute.
They're
these leggings that have just juggling clubs all over them, and then it says juggle down the side of the calf. And I think I'm gonna get one.
Nice.
I found that leggings are really comfortable to have under my fest costume when we get into like late September, October, or when I'm doing early, you know, May festivals. You know, when they can get cold. So having a couple
of that to be comfortable. Yeah.
Having some leggings is really nice, and these ones are super cute, so I might get those in addition to a shirt. But anyway, yes, check out Mondo, mondofest.org, and go find out how to attend that event. So, yeah. Anybody else have plugs?
I do. This Thursday, of course, is game night with a park ranger. Friends in Fearless and Friends of Fearless are doing that, and that's extremely exciting. We will put the link for that up on the episode page, but then also this Friday, the 22nd, it is time for Vilification Tennis Inaugural Balls. Yes, to commemorate the momentous occasion that takes place on Wednesday, we are planning to do a show all about that, but you know, that you can laugh at instead of, you know, coping. So there's that, and I'm deeply excited about it. Some of the structures that we have up there just seem real fucking fun, and I get to be in second round.
Ooh.
So that's kind of a big deal for me, and I'm going to be real happy about it. So, yeah. So there's that.
Jenna?
And there'll be a...
I got nothing.
All right. Any last words?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
Cool. We would like to thank so very much everybody listening to this podcast, and thank you to Stefan Senpai for most of the Fast Five, and I suppose Troy, too.
Yay!
Let's give credit where credit is due, really.
I don't remember if Troy and I are still fighting, but I'm going to figure it out
right
now.
Last I remember.
on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.